broadcasting from the financial capital of the world. This is NBRFM, New York City.
And welcome. I'm Sal Giangrasso here on NBRFM. It's good to have you with us, and it's great to have our guest, Jan Makala. Hello, Jan. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, and Jan is the owner at Strength Based Leadership. And Jan, you're calling us from Maryland, correct?
Correct.
And you're in, what's the name of that town?
Sykesville.
Sykesville, Maryland. And yes. Jan has a website, so why don't we start, Jan, first, tell us where folks can find you on the web.
They can find me at strengthbasedleadership.net. It's all one big long word, strengthbasedleadership.net.
And we'll be reviewing that later in his social media sites. I'm sorry, Jan, I didn't mean to jump in. What were you saying?
That's it. It's all one big long word. And you can also get me on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on any of those social media sites as well. And so, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, like I said, on my website. I post articles of interest out there on management periodically. So you'll find some help there.
Excellent. So, Jan, let's start out by you giving us an overview, a scene setter, so to speak, about what you do over there at Strength Based Leadership.
What I do is I work with organizations to help managers and employees work from their strengths. And when employees work from their strengths, what they do best, they are more productive, they're less likely to leave organizations, organizations have less turnover. Everything is good, more profitability is another one, when employees are allowed to work from what they do best. And I help employees through strength-based leadership find what the employees do best, and also managers and teams define what they do best. And so I'll give you an example. I recently had a general manager of a manufacturing facility send me back a thank you. I had worked with this company is a manufacturing company, and they had ungodly turnover, 84% the year before. And this new general manager was brought in, and he is a strong believer in Gallup Strength Finders and strength-based leadership. And he said, come help me. And so they had 22 managers. I spent time with the managers and the team helping them discover their strengths and how that team could work from their strengths. 4 months later, their turnover went to 10%. Wow. And there's a financial aspect of that, because as the general manager calculated, in 6 months, his turnover cost went down $1.3 million. And so, because most people don't think when you lose somebody you don't want to lose, there's a financial cost for that, because you have to go out and find a new you or a new person. You have to then bring them onboard them, and they don't have the skill set initially to do whatever the person who left was doing. So there's a cost of that, and you can calculate it out, and he calculated it out at $1.3 million. So he's fundamentally sending me a thank you note for helping him turn around a flagrant manufacturing facility. And that's an example of what I do. I have one. I'm going to help a nonprofit in May with a similar situation of taking their managers who have received no management training and are pretty much, as the head of it says, clueless about working with people. And so we'll be doing it again. I have in the nonprofit world. So I do for-profit, nonprofit, government agencies, quasi-government agencies. It doesn't matter. We help everybody that has an interest in having a more productive and environment where people want to come to work every day.
Well, thank you for that, Jan. And by the way, if you have a question that you'd like to discuss with Jan about leadership issues, we're taking your calls at 631-406-9054. 631-406-9054. Give us a call. We'll put you on the air with Jan, and you can ask your question. But Jan, before we get into the kernel of some of the more detailed things that you do, can you tell us in general, you say, find the manager's strength. What are the various different kinds of strengths that pop up, and how does that suit people for different roles?
Well, if you were to go on Gallup Strength Finder and take the Strength Finder survey, there are 34 themes that people have as human beings, and they are then fall into fundamentally four domains. And it's not that you, it's finding out what you do best and then asking you to do more of it. And so when I work with teams and groups, we identify everybody's strengths on a grid so everybody can see it. It's totally transparent. And you see in your grid, for example, that you, the four domains that most people or not everybody will fall into are executing, strategic thinking, relationships, and influencing. And you may have a group of people who are very good at thinking, strategic thinking, and executing, but relationships are not that strong. And so you look for people in that have the, can help you in those areas of relationships with people not only within that group, but also within, you know, a broader portion of the organization. So when I work with that team, I'd say, you know, you're a little bit weak in you know, in relationships, you know, and you have some people in there that have some strength in that area. You identify them, you know, put a spotlight on them in a nice way and have them, everybody say, you know, we need more of what, you know, of what he or she does. And so they start recognizing that they don't have to be, have all the answers. They have people around them who have strengths where they don't have. And there's no magic formula here. I was a company commander in the Army, and I've worked with military, and one of the things people who are moving into command roles, when they do their strength finders, they all say, oh my God, I don't have command in my top, you know, top five or anywhere near the top. And they all get, you know, really nervous about that. And I said, well, don't even worry about it. I was a company commander in the Army, and command isn't even in my top 15 out of my 34. So it's not what you don't have, it's what you do have. And so we identify how you're going to command, and if you read some of the books about the best commanders and so forth in the military, most of them have worked with the people and find out what they do best and go from there. I'll give you an example is the Navy SEALs. The SEAL commanders all carry the strengths of everybody that reports to them with them at all times, because Navy SEALs don't have leaders. There's no, you know, big officer going out on the missions with them. It's like self-managed teams. So they build off everybody's strengths. And the Navy SEALs have been using it for numerous years. And it works very, very well in cohesive teams and having a group of people who will rely on each other and get the mission accomplished.
In this kind of scenario, let's say someone is more has more strength in relationships as opposed to execution. Are they then encouraged to handle the relationship problems for the entire company or in their unit and coach other people? How does it all come together?
But if you're in a team and you have somebody who has that strength in relationships, it's relationships amongst the team. They can help connect and they can help. People realize, for example, I used to work for a boss who, you know, would frighten everybody to death. But after he left the room, we had a person who was high relationship, and she used to say, "Don't worry, you know, he's just being, you know, really gruff today. Don't worry, he's really a nice guy," which was in fact the case. And so she always had the relationships amongst the team to build that cohesiveness amongst the team members where they said, you know, he really is a nice guy after that, you know, when it's just, you know, and he just having one of those, you know, big rough days.
So they kind of rise to the occasion as needed.
Correct. And you can pull from strengths from somebody when you, for example, if you look at those four domains, I have nothing in the strategic thinking area. But I was part of a team that had strategic thinking or strategic planning. We're planning a year to 18 months out. I have nothing in that domain. So you say, well, why is he on the team? And I could sit in those strategic planning meetings and I could drink coffee and, you know, and look at the PowerPoint presentations and all that. And I can do it. It's just not easy for me to do it. I don't particularly enjoy doing it. But after they'd get the strategic plan together, I'd look at it, and I would say to our then boss, I'd say, Eric, here's how we can maximize it, make it better, and here's how we're going to execute it. And he said, that's why you're in the room, because nobody else could do what I could do.
You were the guy who could execute then, right?
I was the guy who executed. So you take advantage of what people do, not what they can't do. And so that's part of the magic of it is that, and when we'd get to the execution or after it's executed, the strategic thinkers would come by and say, how do you do that? And I'd say, do what? And they say, make that all happen. And I say, I don't even think about it. It's pretty easy for me. And so people, you appreciate what people on your team have, what they don't have. And it works well in your personal life as well. I've done coaching for individuals and talked to one of my clients is a husband and wife who own a business. And when they went through strengths training with me and I showed them their strengths, he said to his wife, is number one is activator. She's always got to be doing something. She just can't sit down and put her feet up on the couch and kind of, you know, knit or read a book. You know, she's always got to be engaged in doing something. And he said, now I know why she does that. You know, it used to drive me crazy. She just, because he could sit down and kind of disengage for a while. She cannot. It's not in her real wheelhouse. And so, but now he knew, and he said, you know, I understand it from a marriage perspective. And when you have teams that are kind of dysfunctional, they don't get along well, and we sit and show why people do what they do because of their strength domains and what they like and don't like and how they work together, most of that stuff disappears mm-hmm. because people realize that I'll give you the classic example, is that if you were to, any of your listeners, go out and do the strength survey, there's 177 paired questions. And when you get your results, you'll see your top five, and those are called your signature themes. And when you read your report, you will say, that is me. How unique you are is that there's the chance of anybody having the same top five that you have in the same order that you have them is 1 in 32 million.
It's like a fingerprint.
It is. It's very much like a fingerprint. And there aren't that many people in New York City. So you can walk around the streets of New York and understand how unique you are.
Hold on a second here, Jen. This is a great thought, but we have a caller on the line. I don't want to lose the caller. Is it okay if I put them up on the air? Hi.
Sure, absolutely.
Hi, who's calling in? What's your name?
Hi, this is Tyrone from PA.
Hi, how you doing? What's your question for Jen McKeeler?
I'm good. Well, I've been a manager for almost 20 years now, and recently I found myself having a problem basically engaging my employees. I've evolved my style a bit since I've been younger, but not in a way that would explain the issues I'm having. Tell me, what do you suggest I do?
Give me an example of an issue that you're having with your employees.
Just engaging them, like when they're not doing the right thing, I don't want to come down too hard on them. I don't want to be too much of a terrible boss, you know?
Boss, right. Are you working with younger people, millennials, you know, less than 35 years of age?
Yes.
Okay. How'd I know that? The younger, I've actually written on this and it's been published data, is the younger worker, the millennial, if you will, and younger, do not want a boss, they want a coach. And so you need to transition from that boss, you know, command and control kind of a dude, to work as a coach. And if you think of, if you're a sports fan, think of whatever team you follow, whatever sport it is, doesn't matter, every team has coaches. And what does a coach do? He helps them improve a skill set. He doesn't focus on that they, you know, can't hit left-handed. If they're a right-handed hitter, he's going to improve them hitting right-handed. And so the same thing kind of does apply to you. Think of, and there's numerous articles you can read. There's actually one on Gallup's from Gallup. It's called Transitioning from Leader Style from Manager to Coach. And I can tell you that with the younger employees, they respond to managers who are there as their coach. Other things that they respond to as well is, help me develop in my career development. Help me out as a coach would help me out. And one of the things I can tell you, that if you can express to your team that you truly care about them as people, they will walk through fire for you. But if they believe you could care less about them, they'll let you walk off a cliff. If we go to Google, for example, one of the things to be a manager of Google, of the eight things, is interest and demonstration of caring for both professional and personal well-being of your people. And so it's a mindset change, but it's when people know that you care about them, they will rock for you and truly care about them as a person. You can't just do it, you know, walk in the room and say, I care about you, you know, because people are going to look like, what, you know. And so it has to be demonstrated over some period of time that this is really what you know, what you do and what you believe. And so it's rethinking yourself. If you were to do the StrengthFinder survey, there will be words in those top five that describe you, and you can then, if I was your coach, I'd say, highlight those words that in one of your signature themes, just pick one, highlight those words that resonate with you. And when you do, I'd say those words resonate with you because that's who you are and what you value and what you believe. And then from there, I would help you create a value statement that we could then help you going forward working with teams, because it's what you value as a person and how you work with people. And when I do it with teams or individuals, this is what I did with that group we turned around the management team there and was going through this exercise. So it's helping you find what you're really good at, how you work best, and we'll help you do more of it, but also from the person of what it is that you do best or strengths. Okay?
Caller, thank you for your call. I hope he answered your question. Okay, thank you very much for that. Jan Makala is our guest. Jan is the owner at Strength-Based Leadership. And Jan, when we come back after our break, we're going to get back into our discussion, and maybe we'll touch upon why companies promote the wrong people for a particular role. You up for that?
I'm up for that.
Okay, good. And we'll be right back with Jan right after this.
This is NBRFM, New York City.
And we're back with Jan Makala, the owner at Strength-Based Leadership in Sykesville, Maryland. And Jan, is your business regional, or do you have, with your website, a national, maybe even international reach?
National and international reach. Some of it we just do like over Zoom or Skype, some of that kind of stuff. They just need, some of that. But other ones I spend some time at and travel to wherever for teams and helping them get their team aligned and those kinds of things. They're doing presentations for keynote addresses and those kinds of things for associations and like, and give them an overview of working from strengths.
Okay. So Jan, tell us your website address again, because then I have another question for you.
Okay. It's Strength, STRENGTH, based leadership.net.
Now, Jan, sometimes people promote the wrong people from within. Why does that happen?
Well, it goes all the way back to the Second World War, basically. But it's typically who gets promoted in an organization. Person who has a success prior to a non-management role. You were the best widget maker. Or the second reason is tenure. You're the most senior person in the organization, in the team, or whatever the circumstance. And you would normally think that somebody is, has highly competent hard skills would be able to move right over into management and be able to put that into play with a group of teams. And, but in reality, that hasn't worked. And one in two employees have left their job to get away from a bad manager. One in two. Number one reason people leave their job is because of bad managers. So organizations are promoting people into positions that they've never been trained or have any idea about how to function, and they only typically function the way they were ever dealt with by whoever they reported to. And so organizations are promoting a lot of people, setting them up for failure, and they haven't trained them in how to be the manager that people want to follow. And in fact, I wrote a book with Brian Tracy called Cracking the Code to Success. And in there, I wrote the chapter on being the manager people won't leave. And much of this is talked about because I go around the country and I do a seminar called Being the Manager People Won't Leave. And I started out with saying, okay, how many of you got promoted because you're the best widget maker or the most senior person in the department? And, or nobody else wanted the job and you're at the end of the line and all the hands go up. And then I said, how many of you got to go to management training? And zero hands go up.
Right.
And so I say, you got promoted into a job and now you got all these other problems and people are giving you grief and you got no training and no help in how to do that. And you don't know what good managers do.
Right.
And so that's where we start, is showing them what good managers do. And it all comes down to a leadership style that is more motivating for the individuals.
Right. Jan, I don't mean to interrupt. We'll go back to this thought, but we have another caller. I'd like to put them on the air, okay? Hi,
okay.
Who's on the line? Where are you from?
Hi, Samantha. I'm from New York.
Samantha, what's your question for Jan Makala?
So I have several people that work for me. They're very valued employees, but I can't promote them just yet. And I just don't know how to really convey to them how valued and appreciated they really are. And I don't know how to explain what they can do to be considered for a promotion.
Okay. Well, I've lived your scenario myself, and you have valued employees. One of the things you can do, if you haven't done it, is tell them how valued they are. And look at it from a perspective. Every role in your organization exists because it has value, right? If it didn't have value, it wouldn't exist. So tell those people, I value or we value whatever it is that they do. Without you doing that thing every day, we wouldn't have the results that we have. And the other thing is to do is to catch them doing it right. And the rule of thumb is you should be telling your people what they've done well at least, and appreciate what they've done and express it to them at least once a week. And so that's one of the things to do. And the other thing is you don't want to promote a person to a position of failure. And if you believe that the person, let's say somebody says, I want your job, but in your heart you know that they don't really have that skill set to do that your function, then you have to try to find a role for them that's more suited to their natural abilities. But the other thing that you can do is help them succeed or to broaden out their current role. Help them grow into something that they're, broaden out what they're doing or having more, improving their performance with your saying, you can do with your natural talents more of this, and show them how they can grow, find ways to help them grow in your current position. Employees will tend to gravitate to you because they want to be where you are because you're looking out for them and helping them grow either in their role or other roles in the organization. And so you become that person. You're demonstrating with a nonverbal way is that you care about them as people. And so you're looking for ways that you can help them out without necessarily having a promotion. I had a young man who said, I want your job. And I said, okay, come spend the day with me or a couple days with me and I'll pull back the curtain and you can follow me around. And, and he did that for 2 days. And at the end of it, I took him out for an adult beverage and I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't want your job. And because he saw that wasn't really what was best for him. And I knew that, but I wanted him to discover it. I just didn't want it, for me to say to you, you don't have the skills to do it. Because that doesn't do anybody any good. So help them find what they're good at and then help them promote and give them some exposure to it. And so when something comes up, you can say, I know of something coming up somewhere else in the organization that is right in your wheelhouse. And it's thinking from a perspective, how can I either enhance what they're doing currently into expanding that role, giving them some exposures to do that role better or differently, something that they, and ask them, in your current role, what is it that I can do to make your job easier? What can we do to, enhance your role? What would you like to do? Or, things that from what they do. And if you had your whole team take this, how many people do you have working reporting to you?
Under me, I have about 15. Yeah.
16? Okay.
15.
And,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So you could, for about $20, have them all individually take the StrengthFinder assessment, and then you could have them start working or have a coach, myself, coming in and reviewing the strengths of your team and helping pull the team together. But I also spend time with the individuals if I'm there long enough, and I help them realize where their strengths lie and what they can do more of and help them figure out what their what their roles could be in the organization going forward. And you're part of that. It's not done in just isolation. But those are some of the things that you can do to, I hated to lose people who are talented people, and because they're going to somewhere other organizations because they had an opportunity that we couldn't afford or couldn't make available to them. And talent people are hard to come by. And if you're the most talented person, widget maker, you're the last person I want to leave. So I'm doing things that are going to enhance your career and keeping you in your role. Some people just love making widgets, and I love having you make widgets, and I'll help you make more widgets and those kinds of things if we can. But some people put them in a role that's best suited for them or help them realize that role.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that feedback. That's a good start. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Samantha. And Jan, we've only got about a minute left here. But what I'm hearing from you is that if a person is the best salesperson, really knocking down numbers, maybe it would be a better idea to just let them be a salesman and get somebody else to be the sales manager, especially if they don't have those relationship skills you were talking about.
Absolutely. That is so true. I've worked managing sales forces and so forth, and I've seen people, you're the number one sales guy, and we promote you to sales manager, and 6 months later, half the team has left. And they have left you, and because it's a hard thing for ego-driven salespeople, you know, maybe to see when you come into that sales manager role, you have to change how you deal with people. And if you don't have those relationship skills or the ability to influence people in a positive way, you're going to have a tough road to go. And so now there's ways that you can help minimize some of those things, and that's why I work with you, but you have to understand there's some self-awareness that has to come with that.
Jan Makala is the owner at Strength-Based Leadership. Jan, I'm afraid we're out of time this time, but you know, it makes a lot of sense if you use a sports analogy. You don't expect your defensive tackle to be able to run back kicks. You don't expect your split end to be able to blitz. So everybody's got their role, and if you put the right people in the right roles, your team's going to thrive.
And you saw that in the Super Bowl, you know, that people were put in their right roles. You know, Tom Brady can throw a football. He has some people who can catch the football. And so everybody's skilled at something. And when we know what you do best, we'll let you do more of it.
Right. And you could see it on a football team, but maybe you got to look a little more closely at your working team to figure out the strengths. Jan, this was a great discussion today. I look forward to speaking with you again. If you could one more time review your web address, your social media contacts, your phone, your email, whatever you care to share.
Okay. It's still strengthbasedleadership.net is the website, and you can just email me direct at jlmakela@gmail.com, or you can call me at 443-364-8341.
Jan Makala, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Hey, thank you so much as well. Appreciate it.
Great. And we'll have more right after this.